apologies for the breaks of sound during the sermon today. We had some microphone problems.
The first reading today is taken from Exodus chapter 33, verses 7 to 17. Now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. And when Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrance to their tents, watching Moses until he entered the tent. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance, while the Lord spoke with Moses. Whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance to the tent, they all stood and worshipped, each at the entrance to their tent. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face, as one speaks to a friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide, Joshua, son of Nun, would not leave the tent. Moses said to the Lord, "You've been telling me, 'Lead these people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, 'I know you by name, and you have found favor with me.' If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways, so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people." The Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people, unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth?" And the Lord said to Moses, "I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you, and I know you by name." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The next reading is taken from Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 to 6. Joshua installed as leader. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them." And the next reading is Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 to 18. Jew and Gentile reconciled through Christ. "Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth, and called and circumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit." This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everybody. Isn't it great to be back in the building again? It's great to worship at home as well. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we are part of your chosen people. May my thoughts and meditations and my words be pleasing to you, and our reflections also be pleasing to you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. The week before last, Warren Gatland, the head coach of the Irish and British Lions, chose the team. Now, I don't know whether you know anything about the background of the Lions. It's kind of the elite of the home nation. So if you're a rugby player from England, from Scotland, from Wales, or from Ireland, to get in British and Irish Lions is a big deal. It's kind of the pinnacle of your rugby playing days, as it were. You're judged by your ability, of course. You're chosen by how good you are. Now, if you make it to a rugby club of, say, the stature of Leicester Tigers, which is the supreme or the most important East Midlands club. There's another one. It's called Northampton Saints, But if you get to club status, that's a big deal. If you get to represent your country and you're chosen to play for England, Ireland, Scotland or Wales, that's a big deal. But every 4 years, the Irish and British Lions, they tour either Australia, New Zealand or South Africa. It's really a tough series of games. So in a worldly way, we can kind of best people are picked for the best sides. They're not going to come to pick the curate from the Ice Lodge who used to play for Martin Deeping Rugby Club in the late 1980s and early 1990s. They're just not going to do that, as much as I would like that. Economy. How does he choose people? What about God's way of choosing us? Well, we're going to pick up on a few of the themes that Rob unpacked last week. We're going to talk a little bit today about a broken, obedient people who seem to fit the job. We're going to talk about the few for many. In Matthew's Gospel, we hear Jesus say, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." We're going to talk about a chosen people. But what purpose are we chosen for? How does God work through us? So, in short, we're going to talk about WWW. No, not the World Wide Web. Who, when, and why. We're probably going to major a little bit more on the who. Who? Who are the chosen people? Fallen, ordinary people like you and me. The economy of God works in a slightly different way. The passage from Exodus is one of my favourite bits of the Old Testament. In 11a, verse 11a, God speaks to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Amazing. In 17, God says to Moses, "I know you by name. I know you by name." You would think then, certainly by our standards, that God knows someone by name, he speaks to them as a friend, they would kind of have to be a pretty special person. They would have to be eloquent. They would have to be trained for the job at hand. You would think they would have natural leadership abilities. You would think they could talk well and teach well and lead well and be impressive. But we then learn a little bit about the man Moses. We know Moses was a murderer. We also know that Moses hid his face. And we also know that Moses was not eloquent. In fact, they think that he probably had a stammer. Now that interests yours truly here. One of the first things I said to you all when I first arrived, so you've got to know two things about me. Number one, I'm a Leicester Tigers fan. Sorry about that, Chris. Number two, I stammer. It's taken me a long time to get to the point where I can stand up on stage and actually admit and say that. In business, I was in business for about 25 years. I stood up in front of big groups doing big presentations, and I used to say, Lord, take my stammer away. Lord, take my stammer away. I want to be eloquent. I want to be impressive. And it took me a long time to get to the point of actually and say, actually, I've got a stammer. That's part of me. Sometimes it's there, sometimes it's not. Just a little tip. If the word communion, which you would think for a vicar should trip off the tongue, well, it just doesn't with me, all right? So next time I lead, just watch for that one coming. We know the Apostle Paul had a thorn in his side, and he prays, Lord, take this thorn away from me. But God didn't. Whatever that thorn was, he didn't. Moses actually says in Exodus 4, 10 to 12, pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent. Neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant, I am slow of speech and tongue. The Lord said to him, who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go. I will help you speak, and you will teach you what I will teach you what to say. Doesn't matter if you're not eloquent, if you've got a stammer. God will put us in the right place and give us the right words to say for the right occasion. So, question for us all here: what gets in your way? Do you think you come from the wrong place? Do you think you're not educated in the right way? Do you think you can't find the right words? Do you think you're not impressive by the ways of this world? What is it that gets in your way? But let God make the call. Let God make the call. Here's the deal: through your openness to him. May God make the call through your openness to him. Don't write yourself off, because he won't write you off. He won't write you off. And what's the result of following God's choices? What's the result of being part of the chosen people? What can broken achieve? Deuteronomy 34:12. For no one has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of Israel. A man who did not have a particularly great start. A man who, by his own words, was not eloquent. And how does that story continue? How does his story, the story of God's chosen people, continue? Well, in verse 12 gives us, because the earthly assistant that Moses provided. Moses teaches, Joshua follows, the few for the many. Verse 11b, then Moses would return to the camp, but his assistant Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. The obedience of Moses is handed down and enforced, being with and teaching others, few for many, to be alongside others. Deuteronomy 34:9. Now Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. The Israelites listened to him and did what the Lord had commanded. Now we have the when. When? Well, it's when we are obedient to God's call. Moses was obedient to God's call. Joshua is also an being obedient to God's call. In Exodus 7, it tells us that Joshua, then an assistant, and now in the Joshua reading, a leader, a warrior, an assistant, and now a leader. The one to lead God's chosen people across the river Jordan. Joshua, warrior in Exodus 17, then assistant, then leader. The result of his obedience to being chosen and to being called forward. No one will be able to stand against you all the day in the Joshua reading today. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give to them. The gifts from God are many, are huge. And we're joining in his story, the big picture. Where do we fit in? So considering this, what can we as God's people achieve in the aftermath of this pandemic? Where are you being called to? What does obedience look like for you? And where will you serve? And why? Why? To bear fruit as part of one new humanity. 15-16 Ephesians. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. In Jesus, we are one humanity. In Jesus, the Old Testament is fulfilled. We are reconciled to God through the cross of Jesus Christ, the ultimate act of obedience. In the Garden of Gethsemane, the night before, he says, Lord, take this cup away from me if you can. Jesus knows what the immediate future is going to be. And yet he shows us the ultimate act of obedience. All hostilities have been put to death in Jesus. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Everybody in this room, as God's chosen people, you are part of his story. You are part of the common ancestry of Moses and Abraham and Joshua and Noah. We are part of the big story. John Chrysostom, in the fourth century, the early church father, said this. He said, if you take a statue of lead and if you take a statue of silver and you melt them down and you mix them together, you get gold. Not some worthless amalgam of lead and silver, you get gold. Are you ready to be those chosen people? Are you ready? So the big idea. Why does God call people like you and like me? People with flaws. People who often get things wrong. People who think we're not good enough. Well, we hear Jesus say in John 15:16, you do not choose me, but I choose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that lasts. And so whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. We're in a season here where we need to consider our roles in church. We need to be obedient. People are coming out of lockdown. They are searching for what's next. Where will you serve? Where will you be called forward? In summary, who's chosen? It's you and it's me. Don't think you are a suitable human being to be chosen, but think again. Moses was chosen, Joshua was chosen, and in and through Jesus you are chosen too. When are we chosen? Well, we're chosen now. Through our obedience to Jesus. How can we develop our obedience? Joining a group, perhaps. Serving on the welcoming team, perhaps. Giving, perhaps. Leading, perhaps. How are we growing our faith in Jesus? And why? Because as part of Jesus, Jesus is new. We are chosen by him to go fruit that will last. Where is God sending us to bear fruit? As a church, as individuals. And who is he sending us to? How will we respond to the knowledge that we are part of the story? Part of his story. The story of you. The chosen people. Amen.